Frank! Frank!
What?
The mics have just gone live for Culture My Arts.
Eh? Live? Culture My Arts hasn't been live for 2 years. Not since we did those two episodes for that broadcasting company. God, what are they called again?
Do you mean the BBC?
That's the one. I keep forgetting about them. We can't be live for them again. They never gave us a call back. They thought we were weird and crap.
No, Frank. Even better. We're live everywhere. Every listening device and every radio.
What? Right now?
Yeah.
What, so they've heard all this?
Yeah.
Well, you should have told me that at the start. You know what? You're sacked. Guards, euthanize him. That's right. Drag him out that way, boys. Thank you. Oh, Nick. Tell his wife it was murder, car crash, asbestos, anything like that'll do, yeah?
No problem, boss. Anything else?
I'd probably pop in to tell her when the kids are in bed. And a croissant if you're going past Pret-a-Manger. Hi, I'm Frank Sod. This is Culture My Arts.
Music.
Poor old ladies are still rocking away.
Film.
As infested by Vince Vaughn.
Opinion.
Comedians of intellect.
And other things. It's Culture My Arts.
Your latest culture headlines. Russian science lab trials downloadable food. That's in the mail. We thought it'd be okay, says education minister after giant squid daycare tragedy. And New York Post announces the Last Week Tonight show is cancelled after John Oliver loses thesaurus. Those are your culture headlines. It's Culture My Arts, the first radio show to be broadcast live on everything to everyone. So you can stick that where there's an absence of sun. Now, when I was a kid, we used to wear bicycle helmets. Today, youths are opting for the more sinister VR helmet. Why are they dangerous, you ask? Well, for starters, if you wear a VR helmet in a bike crash, you'll probably die. Shockingly, this isn't the only way to die in a VR helmet. In this week's edition of Culture Shock, Jerry Bitter reports on how virtual reality is causing real calamity.
Back in my day, if you wanted to hallucinate, you'd procure some good old-fashioned British ketamine from your local equestrian club. These days, all you've got to do is pop down to your local Argos.
And unless it's the Argos in Bradford, you won't be picking up ketamine. No, you'll be picking up one of these. A VR headset. I'm testing one inside Argos. Graham here has agreed to talk me through it. What am I playing here, Graham?
Puppy Meadow 3.
Puppy Meadow. So, look what happens. I've started playing the VR game. Next, I'm going to have a bit of the ketamine. Now, I'm going to try and chop an onion with the headset on. And let's stop. If I take this off, how predictable. Only 10 seconds of playing Puppy Meadow 3, and I've already stabbed Graham.
Is it any wonder our youth are antisocial yobs when the game of choice is ignore aunt? A game where you accumulate points the longer you ignore your dear auntie as she undergoes varying degrees of distress. This is some actual dialogue from this sick, twisted game.
Please, nephew! A chip pan fire has eviscerated the skin on my back! Apply some pseudocrem to your dear auntie's back! Nephew! Nephew!
Double points! Animal round!
Nephew! A grizzly bear has just broken through the door! Nephew! Nephew! It's gonna tear my face off!
Ah! Does it come as a surprise that our children can't hold a conversation when the only practice they get is through games like Criticize, a voice-activated VR game where the user is tasked with hurling mindless abuse at insects until they cry? Listen to a recording of this player having a pop at an ant.
You're so bloody weak, aren't you? Eh? It takes like four of you to pick up a leaf. I can pick one up whenever I want. I mean, it's easy. But you're too little and sick, aren't you? I hate you. What are you even using that leaf for anyway? What, you gonna go build your house? So stupid that your house is made from leaves. Mine's made from bricks. Bet you wish you lived in my house, you little tiny ants. Go on, cry. Cry, six legs. Bet your mum's got six legs too, doesn't she?
To save taxpayers' money, the government have been using VR headsets to simulate prison so that young offenders can serve their sentences from home. If removed from the user for more than a minute, the headset sounds an alarm which alerts the police. Unsurprisingly, convicts began to use this minute to quickly place the headset on their sleeping grandparents, only for them to wake up doing hard time. This disturbing clip of pensioners on a prison courtyard may be entertaining.
Listen here, Doreen. I've seen you give me evils from across the yard.
I haven't, Judy.
It's J-Dog to you. And don't tell Porky's to me. Now, if I see you do that again, my squad will jack that backgammon set in your cell. Do you hear me? And don't think about eating all your food at lunch today. You'll give your fig rolls to me or this doily will be in your windpipe.
I've got CEO Jack Boar of Well Game on the line. Pioneers of VR computer gaming. What do you have to say about some of the rotten dross you've been producing for our kids?
Well, I think that what we create for kids is a new form of gaming where they can be active and healthy.
They may be active games, Mr. Boar, but at what cost? Well Game produces a VR first-person shooter called Bullet Perks, where the user actually plays as the bullet. One boy got brain damage trying to pass through wood.
That's an isolated incident. I mean, most of our games have immense educational value for children.
Oh, really? Was that so for the girl in Alabama playing a VR natural disaster simulator, unaware that there was an actual natural disaster taking place? In-game, she was running away from the tycoon, but in real life, she charged at it, like a gladiator.
VR is about games with true immersion. That is a rare case of it going wrong. I mean, most of the time it is an extremely positive user experience.
What about the group of teenagers that were so engrossed in one of your games that they are now actually stuck in the VR world? Have they been found yet?
A police crew has been sent into the VR world, I can confirm.
You make these games, Mr. Boar. Why don't you go in and find them?
No, I'm the CEO, and...
Mr. Boar, this is your mess. Put on a helmet and go and find those kids.
Fine! Fine, I'll go and find the damn kids now. Oh, God. Where am I? Is that... God, it's...
And it's as easy as that. VR takes another life.
You're listening to Culture My Arts.
I'm Frank Sod for Culture My Arts, a brilliant radio show. Live now for anyone with ears. So, in order to fund this show, we've teamed up with the British Arts Council, who've recently funded a project to attract a younger audience to opera. Wrap your lobes round this.
Now that's what I call opera. Hear your favourite contemporary tracks in operatic style. Like this one. From the Arctic Monkeys. What about the stereophonics?
Oh,
don't forget everyone's favourite scallywags, Oasis. And what about this French one? Now that's what I call opera on CD now.
Yep, there it is. Now that's what I call opera. You kids can get that for your Walkmans from any derelict Woolworths in Northern England. Next up, our royal reporter trades Ascot for Anfield as Prince Gilbert heads to his first ever football game. Oh.
I'm Prince Gilbert, 14th in line for the throne, but right now I'm first in line at the Liverpool FC ticket office. Cup stand, please, fine pleb.
What seat, mate?
Seat? No. I'll just have the whole stand, if that's quite all right.
You can't have the stand, mate. Where's everyone else going to sit?
What do you mean, everyone else? These people wandering around the stadium aren't coming in, are they?
What do you think?
I thought they were just homeless. Oh, God! It's been called the working man's game, so it's no wonder why I've never heard of it. Football is a sport that sees billions return every single week, mainly for the shareholders. Apparently, people also go to watch it live. Instead of investing in land or opening up a sweatshop, devoted fans choose to throw money at supporting their chosen club. So I'm here at Liverpool FC to find out what all the fuss is about. Football, beautiful game, or horribly deformed. Hello, sir. Are you here for the Liverpool game today?
I am indeed. A big Liverpool fan. Massive, actually. Loved it when we won the Champions League. The other games we won. Champions League. Amazing. Really amazing.
It's funny. You don't sound like the others.
Yeah. I get this all the time. I'm originally from London, but I've been following Liverpool all my life. All my life.
That sounds perfectly reasonable.
No. Let me explain myself. I can justify it, don't worry. So basically, my mum's uncle's brother's best man knew this chap from Anfield, right?
Hello, my friend. Why do you love Liverpool FC?
I fucking love Liverpool. I want to be buried under this stadium.
You'll definitely need council permission.
I am red through and through. If you caught me, I bleed red.
Well, your blood's already...
What? You don't believe me?
No, it's not that.
No, go on. Cut me, and I'll prove it. I have a knife for such occasions.
What's your favourite thing about football?
What's not to love? You know, like, waking up, playing before the game. Piss. Pints during the game. Piss.
Is that all?
Pints after the game.
Nothing else?
Pint next morning after the game.
Well, what about the actual football?
40. Is that on today? Fancy a pint.
So my dad's sister's dog belonged to a meat trader, and he'd get his sausages from a van that would drive on the M62 near Aintree. That's the one, yeah? So, of course...
Is there
anything you'd change about football.
All right, I'll tell you what's wrong with footy, right? How much these footballers earn is disgusting. Some of these footy players, right, they're on 10 to 20 million quid a year.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
My lord, that is disgusting.
Some of these footballers are living in houses with four, maybe six bedrooms.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
God above, they can't be.
Oh, mate, you can't believe they get that for 90 minutes of work a week.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, 20 million quid, how do they eat? And six bedrooms, those poor people. There isn't even enough room for my corgi. Don't get me started on working for 90 minutes straight. My heart goes out to them. Sorry, what's the joke?
Hey,
hey, hey, hey, hey.
And so, to conclude, my step-auntie won a goldfish, yeah, at a carnival in Birkenhead. And what was this goldfish's name? I'll tell you, Stephen, after Stephen Gerrard. Of course it bloody was. And plus, on top of that, it had a Scouse accent as well. So, as a result, it is only fate that I should support Liverpool. Best club in the world. Love him. Love him.
So, before today, what's the best Liverpool game you've been to? Sir? Sir? Why are you running?
So, I'm in the stadium, ready to watch the game. Here come the players. Where are the horses? Shouldn't they be on horses? Is he supposed to kick it that hard? Ooh, surely that's too hard. Stop it. Stop it, naughty. Stop it. Referee. Referee. How can you not see that handball? The damn man's got gloves on, for crying out loud. Jesus Christ, it's a goal. Yes. Come on, Liverpool. Liverpool, goal, goal. You'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone, because Prince Gilbert is coming to walk you home. You'll walk on, walk on. God, I love football.
Well, I'm outside the stadium, having just watched the game. I thoroughly enjoyed the sport of association football. In fact, now that it's come to an end, I must say, I'm feeling rather blue.
Somebody say blue.
Who's a blue?
This lad here said he's a blue.
No, I said I'm feeling blue.
A blue's a blue's a blue.
Let's have him, John.
What are you doing? No.
Stop! Get his kidneys! Bring the shins!
Nice arts. Culture my arts.
I'm Frank Sod. You're nobody. As you know, Culture My Arts broadcasts live on every electrical device, including kettles, cash machines, and halogen bulbs. As a result, we see it as our moral responsibility to advertise less fortunate shows on commercial stations. Check out this cheeky chap. Please.
Hi, I'm Terry Knorr, because no one can say Knorr to me. I'm the original Radio Renegade, pulling right funny stunts and being an all-round cheeky chappy. Last week, I brought a giraffe live into the studio, and when it chewed on me microphone, I gave it a lethal injection. Tune in this week where I'll be telling a wee Ben that I'm his real daddy, even though I'm not. It's gonna be right funny.
Right funny, man.
That's right. I deliver the most edgy content on commercial radio, in between your favourite songs by Fifth Harmony, Ed Sheeran, and any song that's been on a Disney film.
Rolling on Disney Plus now.
If good-willed people call up my radio show, I tell them to fuck off live on air before apologising profusely to Ofcom in a bid to save me job. Proper funny.
Sorry, Ofcom!
This is the thing, Terry. I find your show needlessly offensive. There's no point or moral through line to any of your humour. And whenever you're called out on it, you just call people sensitive.
What's up with yes, man? Can't you take a joke? It's just a joke, man!
This is exactly what I mean. But it's not a joke, is it? Earlier, you told some poor old lady that chocolate hobnobs can be used as dog biscuits.
I didn't mean it, though. It just comes out because I'm naturally cheeky on account of being Geordie-like.
It's just a joke.
I'm Terry Noor, and I don't follow your rules. Apart from the one on me contract, which obliges me to tell you what the traffic's like every 40 minutes.
A69.
Make sure you tune in this week to hear me marry a widow live on air, convince her I really love her, and then when I've got legal property rights to her house, I'll burn it down. It's gonna be right funny.
Terry Noor's Right Funny Show, every Monday on Angel North, 107.82.49 FM.
What an awful man. Unlike the writer of this week's blockbuster in our film preview. Empire magazine calls it a cross-species Brokeback Mountain. The Guardian gives it 5 stars with the title The Pictures Go Movie Movie. And The Times simply says it's strangely arousing. It's the romance flick that's got everyone talking. Moth Movie.
In cinemas now, a love story which knows no bounds.
Mia, I'm under so much pressure with my job as a basketball coach. I'm gonna take all my anger on this dumb moth on the window.
Don't touch that moth, Polly. It's done nothing to you. Come here, little fella. I'll set you free.
Fine, I'll go juggle the hamsters instead.
She'd fall for the one who saved her life.
Hey, bro! Give us your purse, so we can go and buy some really cool drugs.
No, no, I don't have any money.
Do it or we'd be really mean or something.
No.
Oh my God, it's a moth! Run, I hate moths.
And stay away.
Moth?
Mia, you saved me all those weeks ago from the clenched fist of your husband. Today, I return the favor.
Oh, Moth, how can I ever repay you?
My name is Nathaniel, and if you would, I would like you to accompany me on a date.
Sometimes in love, you just gotta wing it.
Polly, you're still awake.
I see you with that damn moth again.
You know you only must eat your clothes, right?
You're wrong. When I get up real close to use the magnifying glass, I can see the way Nathaniel looks at me. He makes me feel so much more loved than you ever have.
To realize her humanity, she has to become a moth first.
Nathaniel, are you sure these wings will work? I want to join you in the skies, I just don't know if I can.
Trust me, Mia. Flap as I do, and we shall be together all the way.
Nathaniel, I'm flying. I'm flying.
Passion, romance, and gratuitous lovemaking scenes between a moth and some broad.
Mia, I want nothing more than to compound our relationship with the physical act of love. But I can't. We are not alike, you and me. I have grotesque mandibles, a hairy back, 6 legs.
Shh. I don't care about that. I love you, Nathaniel. Besides, I like hairy men.
A lover's tale where there is no light at the end of the tunnel.
Tonight, Nathaniel, I thought we'd do something we've never done before. We're gonna make love with the lights on.
No, don't.
Nathaniel! I'm so sorry.
I am but a slave to my moth instincts, Mia. I was never going to be your forever love. The moth's average lifespan is only 3 years, so really, I had another 6 months tops. Leave this life behind, Mia.
Don't you die on me!
My mandibles. I feel them going flaccid.
A breathtaking piece of cinema, which will make your heart flutter.
Mia?
Oh, Polly, will you take me back?
Of course, Mia. I will.
There's just one thing you should know about. This is Jimmy. He's
half boy, half moth.
Will you raise him as your own?
Can he fly?
Yes. Does that disgust you?
No. He's gonna be great at basketball.
Moth movie. 'Cause in the current climate, what else are you gonna be watching?
Correct! It is Culture My Arts!
I'd go and see that if my brain was removed. This is a radio show called Culture My Arts. I'm Frank Sod, a cultured swine. In a few moments, I'm going to hand over to Eleanor Thorne, who's live from a bar in Dublin, where there'll be an interview and live music performance from legendary Irish outfit Folk in Hell. First, though, let's have a quick tune into what's on BBC Radio 4.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Yeah. Oh, really good question.
Super interesting question. Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, amazing. Absolutely super. Good question.
Oh, yeah. Great question. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, really good question.
Do you need any more water?
Oh, yes, please. I'm parched.
Oh, you just dribbled some.
I know. I'm just thinking so hard that... it's all down my pants.
Gosh, I'm doing it now as well.
It's sopping in here, isn't it?
Shall I get a refill? Oh, Lord.
Are you okay? You fell.
Fine, it's just so slippy in here.
That's okay. Let me get the water. Oh, golly.
God, are you okay?
You get the gist. Anyway, let's cross over to Eleanor Thorne, live in Dublin, ready to talk to legendary Irish band Folk in Hell.
Howdy, Frank. Well, you're going to love listening to this.
Actually, Elle, I hate both folk music and you, so without being rude, I'm going to go to the toilet for this section.
I'm sure you'll change your mind when you hear tonight's band.
I'm already going, Elle. Be back in 5.
Oh, well, that's okay, as luckily I won't be talking to myself like I do at home, because I'm live from a Dublin boozer with the one, the only, Folk in Hell.
That's right. I'm old grey folk, and these are the old folkers. Next to me is me gorgeous wife, backup singer, and lady folk herself, Kerry McKee, everyone.
As your name suggests, you're old and grey, Mr. Folk. Tell us how your long career began.
Well, yes, I wasn't always grey folk, mind. In my youth, I was known as cheeky folk. When I got to my 40s, the old waistline was catching up with me a little bit, so we changed my artist name to Fat Folk. But yes, we realised quite early on that all the best folk singers at the time would sing songs about love and loss. Unfortunately, I was in a fairly stable relationship, so it was with great sadness that I had to kill my first wife, Sinead. This led to our debut number one single, Grenade Sinead. We toured, and then I remarried shortly after. I'll be honest, I'd never been happier. But then, the record company came to us with a damn good offer to make an album. So, regrettably, I then had to kill my second wife, Rachel.
How could you even do that?
Well, I used a lead pipe for most of it.
No, I mean, did you not even think about her?
Of course I did. I thought about her every day. It was emotionally very difficult for me to deal with the loss. Though, admittedly, it sounded great in A minor.
Sorry, no. I think you're misunderstanding the question. Do you not feel your actions were completely wrong?
Well, it's art, Eleanor. It's very subjective.
Murder is hardly a matter of subjectivity.
Listen, every artist has their process. There are no right or wrong answers.
Surely, It's wrong to callously use women merely as a subject for art and not see them as autonomous people. Out of interest, have you tried not killing your wife?
I have, Eleanor, but it's rubbish. Listen to this. I love me wife. I love me wife. I love me wife.
Kerry, you're Mr. Folk's current wife. Are you not even slightly against this?
It's why I love him, Eleanor. It's what gives him his edge. At the end of the day, you've got to understand he's a troubled artist. It's not his fault he murders his wives.
Presumably, you know Mr. Folk's going to kill you at some point.
Oh, absolutely. And what an honour it will be.
I don't want to give too much away, but between you and me, Eleanor, if I slip some rat poison into Kerry's Guinness, it wouldn't make a good tune at 140 BPM, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Time for a few listener questions before we let you play your song live. Becky texts in to say, "Lol, aren't the Irish so quirky and funny? When he talked about killing his wife, I almost cracked up laughing."
Thanks, Becky, no doubt. The accent helped make heinous crimes seem a lot funnier. I think if I was from somewhere like Colchester, I'd have some real issues. That's just the accent.
Julie has emailed in to say that she is sick of male folk singers always writing depressing ballads about women. Can they not write about anything else?
That's not true. Some of the songs about my third wife wrestling a black mamba are very jovial.
And Bill has sent us a smoke signal saying, "It's political correctness gone mad. You can't even kill your wife anymore without these bloody snowflakes moaning."
Too right, too right. To stop me doing what I do would be censoring art, which is a form of oppression. And as we all know, oppression leads to violence. And that's something I stand against.
Well, Mr. Folk, you and the band are going to sing a song for us now. What's this one about?
This one is called Flying Like a Bird.
Oh, it sounds lovely.
And it's about pushing me fourth wife off a cliff.
What a surprise.
I'm going to be singing as his fourth wife. As you can imagine, it gets very tender.
Not twisted in the slightest. Take it away.
Kiss my lady on a grand old trip away, on Purple Mountain on a bonny rainy day. We reached a peak, gazed at stars from a ledge. I kissed her cheek before I kicked her off the edge. She was flying like a bird from a thousand feet. She was crying in the air. She knew she'd meet her fate. She was dying, that's for sure. She won't be found in one piece. I know my actions come across as hardly fair. Being a folk singer's a cursed cross to bear. My tragic life is my only source of wealth. When tragedy don't happen, I'll make it so myself. She was soaring through the sky, fear across her face. She was dropping like a stone, landing full of grace. She was flying like a bird for the first minute at least.
It's me, your ghost wife. Why'd you kill me dead?
This world does not deserve you. There's a better place instead.
But did you need to cause a fall which snapped my spine?
Your beauty's lost on mortals. With the angels you can shine.
Like a bird, mainly at the start. Should have seen his mighty kick. 'Twas a work of art, although he broke me bones. He could never break me heart. He makes me love my tragic end with his wicked way of words. The splatter of my brains, poetic if you heard. This folk singer's song had me flying like a bird.
Still think about her after one too many whiskies. I miss her laugh and the way she used to kiss me. I watched, I loved her in our marriage ever long. The band had no ideas and we needed a new song. She was flying like a bird from a thousand feet. She was crying in the air. She knew she'd meet her fate. She was dying, that's for sure. She won't be found in one piece. She was soaring through the sky, fear across her face. She was dropping like a stone, landing full of grace, she was flying like a bird. For the first minute at least. For the first minute at least.
This ditty always makes me feel like down in a pint. Kerry, get the tray of Guinness. Oh, that's got a funny aftertaste. Have they cleaned the pipes?
You won't be rat poisoning me, you bastard. This is for your dead wives, who I imagine aren't going to be too happy to see you in the afterlife.
Kerry! No! Kerry McKee, you've just poisoned old grey folk live on the radio. Do you have anything to say?
Yes, I do actually. My new single, Dying Like a Rat. We'll be coming out to you in a few weeks. It'll be in 140 BPM. Thank you.
Brilliant. Frank, back to you.
Yeah, I'll clean it up later. Yeah. Is it finished? Cracking. Thank you, Eleanor, for a brilliant interview and an even better performance to top it off. It's a shame I couldn't have been there, but it's not all bad because the band sent me a pint of Guinness on the back of a donkey directly from the pub they performed at. Cheers, fellas! Nice. Well, that just about wraps up Culture My Art. All that remains is to say... is to say...